Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's plate this dish on Wednesday, October 19th into Thursday, October 20th, another edition of Locked On Lions. I'm the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt Derry, the 3-3 Detroit Lions. Back to work today. We will talk to Pro Football Talk's Michael David Smith coming up in a little bit. What his thoughts, get a little perspective from him on what he thinks of this Honolulu blue and silver outfit all of a sudden on a modest two-game win streak. You can hit me up on Twitter, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, or on the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook. Our edition of Locked On Lions today is brought to you by Jason Stratt of RE/MAX Suburban. Who is Jason Stratt? It is simple. He's the best realtor in the business and best here in Southeast Michigan. Give him a call, 586-634-2612, 586-634-2612. Lions getting back to work today in Allen Park. Want to remind you, by the way, thanks for listening on audioboom.com and on iTunes. Oh, by the way, we have some news on Locked On, the Locked On Podcast Network. Josh Lloyd is hosting a brand new podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Are you serious? You fantasy geeks, you fantasy losers, geeks, I'm sorry. No, but listen, Josh does an awesome job. When you're getting ready for fantasy hoops, there's nowhere better place to go than Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. Check it out on the Locked On Podcast Network. Might be on iTunes, might be on audioboom.com, wherever you're listening, it is there. So check it out. All right, so the Lions got back to work today, got back to practice in Allen Park. Eric Ebron, Haloti Ngata, DeAndre Levy, Theo Riddick, not at the open portion of practice today for the Lions, so they didn't practice, but Ebron was doing some running on the side, so hopefully that's a good sign that he comes back. No sign of Brandon Pettigrew, who's eligible to come off the PUP list. He wasn't at practice today, but Corey Fuller was at practice. The Lions have 3 weeks to decide what to do with Corey Fuller, but he's back practicing. Jim Caldwell asked about all that today, said, of course, he's not going to talk about it and everything else. But what I kind of wanted to touch on before we talk to Michael David Smith is we're starting to turn the page and look toward the end of this week. And that means that it's Sunday, the 4-2 Redskins come to town. And while I like Michigan State football, and I think what Mark D'Antonio has done there has been tremendous, and obviously they're having a lousy season, and all the Spartan fans and all the Spartan backers and my buddies Valeni and Rico Beard, they're all freaking out. Okay, but D'Antonio has delivered quarterbacks to the NFL, whether it is Brian Hoyer, most recently Connor Cook, and of course Kirk Cousins, who got a pretty good sized chunk of a contract extension this offseason after having a good year last year and taking the Redskins to the playoffs. But the one thing that the Lions might be able to do this weekend is rattle a guy like Kirk Cousins. They have to. He's already thrown just 9 touchdowns but 6 interceptions to start this season. And the Lions have struggled this year against any quarterback. Doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers having a great game, but the likes of Hoyer and Case Keenum have put up just paltry numbers against that Leo's defense. And it is time for Sunday for Terrell Austin to do something that he really hasn't done much of this year, and I think he's kind of afraid to do. But they got to send the kitchen sink. They got to send the house. They got to blitz Kirk Cousins. Because if there's one thing we recall, even from his MSU days, is pressure on Cousins means he throws you that interception at the wrong time if you're a Redskin fan. And I think that that's something we got to see on Sunday. And if Ziggy's more healthier than he was last week, a Devin Taylor, let's get some pressure. Let's see Terrell Austin dial up some blitzes, especially at home where the crowd can get into it, and rattle a guy like a Kirk Cousins. I'm calling for a blitzing, whatever the Lions have to do to get him into that zone where he throws that key interception. It's a must. It's a must that the Lions do that. They've got to get some pressure on Cousins. Have to. All right, Jason Stratt, mention him. RE/MAX Suburban. Man, oh man, 21 years as a realtor with RE/MAX for Jason Stratt, servicing areas from the Grosse Pointe to St. Clair County and to Brighton. And hey, Jason's got a great listing right now in Orion Township, all right? 2807 Orbit. 2807 Orbit in Orion Township. It's $249,900. Walkout finished basement, four bedrooms, backing up to woods with a great view. It's those kind of homes that Jason and the homeowner have for you that you can count on, that you're looking for, and that you can buy. Looking to sell your home? Even better. 90 average days on the market for a listing with Jason, less than 21 days. Give him a call right now at 586-634-2612. 586-634-2612. Why do you call Jason Stratt over some of these other realtors? It's simple. He'll call you back. He'll answer his phone. Great family man. His wife, Carrie, the kids, they're great. All right. When I, my wife and I bought our home years ago, we used Jason and it was awesome. Jason hooked us up with our friends at Mortgage One. Jason referred to us to the inspection people, the inspectors. It just was a great experience. And that's what you're looking for with Jason Stratt. Talk some sports with him, 586-634-2612, or anything. All right, bottom line is he's the best. Jason Stratt of RE/MAX Suburban. All right, pleasure to welcome on Locked On Lions right now from ProFootballTalk.com. One of their senior writers does a great job on PFT. Michael David Smith, giving me a couple of minutes here. What's up, MDS?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. Great to hear your voice again. How things been?
Things have been good. It's always good to get the season underway. It was actually a little shocking to me. I wrote something today where I wrote the word week 7, and I thought, boy, are we already on week 7 of the NFL season? It certainly goes by fast, doesn't it?
It really does. Is the reason for that because maybe some of these games and some of these matchups, especially the ones on Sunday night and Monday night, and even some of the Thursdays, have been kind of underwhelming? Are we kind of waiting for something big to happen, or is Dak attack in Dallas and Tom Brady's a drama enough for us?
Yeah, you know, I have been pretty disappointed by these primetime matchups. I wrote something the other day that, like, you know, almost every primetime game has been the type of game where you felt in the third quarter, like, hey, if I turn off this game and go to bed, I'm not going to miss much. And that is certainly not what the NFL wants. Honestly, even some of the games that turned out to be close, like that Texans-Colts game that went into overtime, in the third quarter, it didn't feel that way. I bet there were a lot of people who turned off that game in the third quarter and were surprised to turn on their TV or their phone on Monday and see that the Texans had actually come back and won in overtime, because there have just been a lot of primetime games that have not been very exciting. I think the Sunday afternoon games have been better, and the TV ratings have borne that out. There's been a lot of talk about the decline in ratings across the NFL. It's been much more of a decline in primetime than it has in Sunday afternoons. But there have not been those kind of signature games so far this season that I think we all really look for when we talk about why we look forward to the NFL every week.
You know, it's funny, I made the point on the podcast a couple of days now, and really the last couple of weeks, that here are the Lions sitting at 3-3, and because the NFC is kind of weak, and certainly Dallas has been a surprise, and Atlanta, and Minnesota's blowing everybody away, but even though the Lions aren't great by any stretch of the imagination, they're in this thing along with just about everybody else, right?
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, when I look at the NFC, I would say I can't see the Bears making the playoffs, and I can't see the 49ers making the playoffs. Every other team, even like a 1-5 team like the Panthers, I'm not going to say they can't go on a run and sneak into the playoffs at the end of the season. You know, it's a long shot when you're that far back. But, you know, this could be a year where, you know, a team that we're not talking about right now gets hot, maybe a team that we expect to finish ahead of them has an injury or something, and a team we're not even thinking about right now ends up in playoffs. And this year, I really do think, is wide open. I mean, I would say of the 16 teams in the NFC, you know, 14 of them, I really think can be thinking right now, yeah, we have a real shot if we do what we need to do to get to the playoffs.
What about Detroit, though? Where do you see them?
I would bet against them making the playoffs if I had to bet right now. But it's not certain that they're out of it by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, you know, a year ago in week 7, we would have said that the Lions are out of it already. They ended up turning it on in the second half of the season. I think this year, if they turn it on in the second half of the season, they have not dug themselves such a deep hole that they can't get out of it. I think the Lions have to be pleased with the way Matthew Stafford is playing. I think they have to be very pleased with the acquisition of Marvin Jones, who has really emerged as, I think, a better wide receiver even than they thought he would be, and they thought he was going to be pretty good. I think the Lions have to feel like they have their opportunities. To me, the big question is, can their defense get off the field against anybody? Because if you can't get off the field against Case Keenum, and they very much struggled to do that on Sunday, I don't know who you can get off the field against.
Michael David Smith with me from ProFootballTalk.com. All right, so when you look at the Lions, you started with Stafford, and certainly he's carried this team. How surprised are you at his success, this amount of success? And we're at the point now where one of your cohorts there, Peter Schrager from Fox, said he could be the best quarterback in the NFL right now. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I don't think I would put him right at the top, but he's pretty close. And if you really look at what his numbers are, not just this year, but also the second half of last year after they made the offensive coordinator change, his numbers are right up there with basically any other quarterback in the NFL. And that's now, you know, that was halfway through last season, and now we're to almost halfway through this season. So we're talking like 14 games going back to last year when they made the offensive coordinator change at their bye week midway through the season. He's been almost as good as anyone in the NFL. I mean, I guess there are a couple of guys who I would say have played better than him. You know, Matt Ryan, I think if you look at everything Matt Ryan has done, has played a little better than Stafford, but not a lot better. I mean, we're talking about one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL at a time when the guys we've been accustomed to calling the top quarterbacks, we're starting to see a change at the top. I mean, you know, obviously Peyton Manning is done. Tom Brady was out for 4 games. Aaron Rodgers has not played the way we would expect. Tony Romo has been injured. I mean, a lot of the top-tier quarterbacks haven't been playing at all or haven't been playing to the level we're accustomed to seeing from them. And I think Matthew Stafford has played about as well as we've ever seen him play and done it now consistently for almost a full 16 games. Really, the last, if you say the last 16 games, really, the only one of the last 16 that he hasn't played well was that terrible performance against the Chiefs in London, which was what got the offensive coordinator fired. And since then, I really think Matthew Stafford has played extremely well.
Michael, what's the secret to the Stafford butter here? What's the sauce? What is it that you've seen that's changed?
Well, I really like the way they are spreading the ball around, and I think Stafford is very good at that. He's very good. You know, I can't bring myself to say what I've heard some people say, which is like, well, they're better without Calvin Johnson. I mean, I just can't say that you're better without one of the all-time, maybe the most talented receiver we've ever seen. And yet, I do really like, if you look at their receiving statistics this season, they've got 4 guys between 25 and 30 catches in Marvin Jones, Anquan Boldin, Theo Riddick, and Golden Tate. I mean, that is really good at spreading the ball around to a lot of different receivers. And to me, that's really been the key to what Matthew Stafford is doing, is he can put it all over the field. He can go deep. He can throw short. I've been impressed with the way he's using his feet. You know, he's never going to be Cam Newton with his feet, but I've been impressed with the way that he can avoid the pass rush with his feet. He can pick up yardage on the ground if he needs to. I've been real impressed with the way he's played, and I think clearly Jim Bob Cooter has a better feel for what he does well and how to get the most out of him, really, than any offensive coordinator that Matthew Stafford has played for so far in his career. So on all of those things, everything really having to do with the passing game, I think if you're a Lions fan, you have to be pretty pleased with what you're seeing.
How do you look at this overall, though, with a 3-3 football team? You could say, well, they easily could have lost to the Eagles, only a one-point win. Like you said, Keenum lit them up last week, only won by three. The Colts game, they escaped with a four-point win. Or you could look at it as they haven't had DeAndre Levy, they haven't had Ziggy Ansah, Abdullah's been out, Riddick didn't play last week, nor neither did Ebron. All these rookies across the O-line, and they sit at 3-3. How do you view sort of the glass here? Full, empty? How do you look at it?
Well, I think that, you know, you can, with close games, you can always argue it in either direction. I mean, if you look at the games they've won, just about everything has been close. I mean, they've won a very close game against the Colts in week one, having to come back, not the last 2 weeks, having to come back in the final minutes, kick field goals in the final minutes to beat the Eagles and the Rams. The flip side of that is they lost by one to the Titans, they lost by three to the Bears. And even that Packers game, they came back and made it close, although that game, they were almost out of it in the first half. That one, I don't know if we can count that as a close game. But yeah, I mean, they've been playing close football games, and I think it's a credit to the team that they've been in these games. I would really like to know, what is this team saying internally about their defense, though? How confident are they that they're going to have DeAndre Levy back and that he's going to be able to play at a high level like he did 2 years ago? How confident are they in Haloti Ngata's health? How confident are they that Ezekiel Ansah can get himself to 100% healthy? Because, you know, like you said, they have had these injuries on their defense, and when you add all of those up, those are some pretty big concerns. And I really think that Terrell Austin, their defensive coordinator, he needs to find a way to get the players he has playing better, because right now these guys are just not playing very well. And when you look at some of the numbers that some of these quarterbacks have put up against them, you know, Brian Hoyer with a 300-yard
right.
day, Case Keenum with a 300-yard day, you need to be better than that against guys who are far from elite quarterbacks. So that, to me, is a very big question going forward about the Lions.
Michael David Smith with me here from ProFootballTalk.com right here on Locked On Lions. Matt Derry with you on Wednesday into Thursday, October 19 into 20. You mentioned it, the defense hasn't been able to stop anybody, and Keenum last week was picking them apart, a lot of crossing routes and everything else, which goes to show there's a lot of linebackers on this team that probably aren't starters, but certainly Darius Slay has had to save the day a little bit. Is this defense good enough to beat the Redskins Sunday and what they brought to the table over the last few weeks?
You know, I think they are good enough to win, but I think they will probably need to win a fairly high-scoring game. I think, you know, you look at, like you say, the linebackers are, the guys they're throwing out there are guys who really shouldn't be NFL starters. I mean, they've got Thurston Armbrister, and, you know, I have to admit, I feel like I follow the league pretty closely. When I first saw that he was taking the field for the Lions, I'm thinking, who's this guy? Have I seen him before? They really struggled at linebacker, especially, and I think unless Levy can come back healthy, they're going to continue to struggle at that position. If he can come back and play at the level he did in 2014, that would make a huge difference. But I think they can beat Washington. I actually am picking them. I pick the games every week. I am going to pick them to win on Sunday against Washington. I think they're good enough that they can win that game. But it's a very close game. I mean, to me, it's kind of a coin flip game, a game I could see going either way. I think, though, that they can put up a lot of points against Washington's defense, and I think that maybe they can do just enough to force Kirk Cousins into an interception or two, and that'll make the difference. It's a very close game, though, and it's a game, you know, like we talk about in the NFC where it's so wide open, this is one of those games that we could be looking back on in December and saying it had a big impact on the playoff race. I think both of these teams are teams that are going to be in the middle of a very deep wild card race in a couple of months.
Yeah, I want to ask you a final thing about the Redskins. How much have you seen of them? Josh Norman, has he made a huge difference for them defensively? And you know, does he just stick to Marvin Jones or Golden Tate all game? And, you know, the Redskins, we know about Cousins from being a Michigan State guy around here, and I know Matt Jones has run the football, but this is a 4-2 team that I'm sure a lot of people aren't all that familiar with. It's not the household names on the Skins we're used to.
Yeah, I think Norman has actually maybe played a little better than people are giving him credit for. I think he's a very good cornerback. I also think you're seeing in Carolina how much they miss him as a cornerback. I think he makes a real difference. I don't think he just covers Marvin Jones, though. I think he is more likely to be all over the field. I think the Lions may try to do some things with formation to make sure that he can't always cover the guy that Washington wants him to cover. I think that's going to be very interesting to see. Can Matthew Stafford spread the ball around, as I was saying earlier, to basically whoever is not being covered by Josh Norman? I think what they'll want to do is avoid Josh Norman and go to their second, third, fourth option. And I think that's been one of the successes of this Washington, or of Detroit, that Detroit can have against Washington. I think that spreading the ball around, finding Anquan Boldin, finding Golden Tate, getting the ball to whoever's open, I think that is where they can have a lot of success on Sunday.
And hey, Jim Caldwell has done a nice job the last couple of weeks. The Fire Caldwell fire is not burning at the moment, at least.
Yeah, it's a funny thing about being an NFL head coach that there are very few coaches who don't have at least some segment of their fan base looking to fire him. And, you know, I've been skeptical of Caldwell at times with his in-game decision-making. I actually liked what he did against the Rams. You know, he took some chances for it on a couple of fourth downs that I thought he showed some guts, and I thought it paid off. I hope to see more of that from Jim Caldwell, because I sometimes feel like during games his coaching is too conservative, plays it too safe. But the one thing that you have to say about Caldwell as a coach is his players play hard for him. You know, his players are basically unanimous in saying they want to play for him, they appreciate the way he treats them, that they want to succeed for their coach. To me, the only question about Jim Caldwell is, does he make those right decisions in the heat of the moment? And on Sunday against the Rams, I think he absolutely made the right decision. I mean, if they don't go for it on fourth down those two times, those two big plays that they picked up, they don't win those two games, that game. And so I think we need to see more of that from Jim Caldwell for the Lions to continue to have success.
Michael, great catching up with you. Read him at ProFootballTalk.com, everybody. Michael David Smith, one of the best there is in breaking down the NFL. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate talking to you.
Always great to talk to Michael David Smith from ProFootballTalk.com. Really does a great job on that site and knows his stuff. And again, he's picking the Lions to knock off the Washington Redskins on Sunday. Oh, hail to the Redskins. Hail to victory. Braves on the warpath. Fight for old DC. I love that song. But hopefully we hear more Theo, Gridiron, and Forward down the field on Sunday. That'll do it for another edition of Locked On Lions. Matt Derry with you. Tomorrow we'll head to DC and hear more about those skins, those 4-2 Washington Redskins. We'll do that tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.